And again, I specifically bring greetings from Dr. Karen Ennert, who is the Chief Veterinarian and Director of the Veterinary Public Health Program of LA County Department of Public Health, who regretted that she cannot herself personally be here with you today. I have no disclosures to make. And basically today I'll be talking about the effective multidisciplinary partnerships on obesity prevention. And I think there's some really innovative approaches that we've done in collaboration with our chronic disease division, and how the Plan, Do, Study, Act model was used to create and implement public health interventions, demonstrating the use of data, the four barriers and five facilitators we've found for people walking in Los Angeles County, and describing how a One Health or All Health strategy may be leveraged to reduce obesity in people and their pets. I don't need to go into One Health. For you, all are well aware, animal disease, human disease, environment, all captured together. So we have initiated, again, thanks to Karen's leadership, a Healthy Pets, Healthy Families initiative. It's a countywide initiative in which it tries to create health goals based on latest research, track trends in animal and human health, and create programs that educate and improve both animal and human health. It was launched in 2011 by the Veterinary Public Health Program, formed a coalition that's interdisciplinary with veterinarians, public health professionals, other animal health professionals, animal care and control, for example, physicians, working together, having quarterly meetings to discuss animal and human health concerns, and established for 2020 goals, seven focus areas to work in. These have been vaccine-preventable diseases, secondhand smoke exposure, zoonotic disease and parasite prevention, bite prevention, disaster preparedness and pets, spay and neutering of pets, and obesity, which is what we will be discussing today. The Plan, Do, Study, Act mechanism, again, I think you are aware of the importance of being able to use these in a continually improvement model for quality improvement and enhancement. The issue that I want to next bring up is this issue of what we started with. It was looking at the planning aspect, the issue of dogs who are obese and overweight. In the United States, some 53%. In people in LA County, some 56%. When dog owners, actually, we looked at obesity rates by dog ownership, and actually those who had dogs actually were higher in obesity than non-dog owners. We'll talk about that. The issue that then came up was to look at what the literature showed about pet ownership and health outcomes. We included an ability to the extent possible, the relationship between pets and health outcomes, physical activity, and walking. There have been positive associations between pet ownership and health outcomes that have been reported in the literature, and some of the outcomes include lower prevalence of heart disease risk factors, including obesity, hypertension, hyperlipidemia, social and emotional support between humans and pets, which can include bonding and trust building between pets and their owners, increased social interaction among humans with pets, informal interactions and conversations as a result of similar experience as dog owners, and development of community social capital, using those similar experiences and informal interactions as a way to get to know members of the community, helping to bridge networks between members of community and enhance the feeling of community among neighborhood residents. In addition to the benefits of dog ownership on the physical, social, and psychosocial and psychological health outcomes for people, dog walking is associated with meeting physical activity guidelines for people. Additionally, a dog is a consistent positive influence for initiating exercise and adding to the enjoyment of walking and exercise. The strength of the dog-owner relationship through a sense of obligation to walk the dog and the perceived support and motivation a dog provides for walking is strongly associated with increased walking. Dog walking may promote physical activity and in turn contribute to weight control. In a study done by Coleman, minutes of physical activity were recorded objectively via accelerometry for 7 days. Results showed that dog walking walking was, in fact, associated with a higher proportion of participants who met national recommendations for physical activity when compared to those who had but did not walk their dog and non-dog owners. Also, there are fewer obese dog walkers when compared to both owners who did not walk their dogs and non-dog owners. Another key factor of this study was that dog owners who walked their dogs were more likely to live in neighborhoods classified as highly walkable when compared to dog owners who did not walk their dogs. As supported by the literature, the environment is a key contextual factor for dog walking. Exploring the relationship between dog ownership and dog walking was an important step in this planning phase of the Plan, Do, Study Act. Interpreting the local data and identifying gaps in the literature on dog ownership and barriers to motivators to walking led to a development of the following hypothesis. Are there differences in the barriers and facilitators of walking among dog owners and non-dog owners? This was a pivotal point in the Plan, Do, Study, Act process as we transitioned from a do to a study and identifying the strategies that would be implemented to answer this question. This meant considering the rich diversity in Los Angeles and other demographics, identifying the barriers to walking, recruitment of walking group leaders, establishing community partnerships, and a community outreach effort, and the creation of a toolkit. Interpreting the built environment survey results was a key step in the process. The 30-item built environment survey, developed by Veterinary Public Health, was self-administered among participants of local health fair and pet vaccine clinics. A total of 508 surveys were collected, 69% female response, 30% male, and 47% Latino, 28% white, 12% Asian, Pacific Islander, 11% black. Almost 79% of respondents reported that they walk in their neighborhoods, and 68% reported that they own a dog. So here is the tables that were developed. These were the facilitators to walking. It represents the 5 top facilitators for walking in the neighborhood when controlling for dog ownership. Among dog owners, as you can see on the left columns, the number one reason to walk is to walk the dog, to exercise as second, and going to the park as third. Among non-dog owners, the number one reason to walk in the neighborhood is for exercise. The second is to reach local destinations, and the third for activities involving children. If we recall the data that we had done in a 2007 LA County Health Survey, we began to wonder why obesity rates are higher among dog owners than non-dog owners if dog owners report walking the dog as the number one reason for walking. A possible conclusion is that it may be possible that non-dog owners might walk more vigorously intensity than a person with a dog who needs to be cognizant and consider the needs and the abilities of their pet. Also controlling for dog ownership, we looked at the barriers to walking, and these were explored. Among dog owners, the number one reason for not walking in the neighborhood was the lack of time, and equally distributed was a fear for personal safety. Other reasons not listed in the selection process were also considered barriers for walking. Among non-dog owners, Mini Express was easier to use the car, there is no time, and the distances traveled are too great as the 3 top reasons for not walking. Several limitations to this study included a disproportion between the amount of health fair participants who compared to the amount of the pet vaccination clinic participants, with greater respondent rates being among those who were attending vaccination clinics. This could potentially bias survey results, as there is a tendency for more dog owners attending pet vaccine clinics than non-dog owners. Participant selection bias also exists due to the high female respondents and males, and often more tendency to be female participants at health fairs. Also, vaccine clinics are held during the day, which would limit participation from working individuals. Existing strategies to increase physical activity in the communities impacted by multiple barriers to outdoor activities were used as a model to incorporate One Health education and dog walking. The Parks After Dark, or PAD, is a countywide initiative in Los Angeles, which aims to empower communities impacted by waves of gang violence, a lack of resources, and disunity among its residents. The LA County Department of Public Health partnered with the LA County Department of Parks and Recreations to provide a variety of health and wellness services at parks throughout LA during the summer. It was during this time that the local parks extended hours for community residents to engage in a wide variety of recreational activities. Among these activities were guided walking groups led by public health nurses in South Los Angeles. The walking groups encourage walking through this guided physical activity program to promote health, empower, and educate the community. Existing models to increase walking rates in Los Angeles neighborhoods demonstrated the effectiveness of group exercise to increase walking rates while educating the communities on the importance of physical activity through weekly health messages that were directly delivered through the walking toolkit. And using a similar framework, the Healthy Pets, Healthy Families Coalition and the Veterinary Public Health Program determined this model would be used to shape the dog-friendly community walking group interaction. The dog-friendly walking groups will be led by the community, not by the Department of Public Health staff. There are 12 weeks of guided physical activity. It's very neighborhood-centric. It includes a toolkit. There are pre- and post-surveys, and this will be piloted in diverse communities, being an important consideration. We want to make sure we're having the diversity of the county being reflected. There are short-term goals as well as long-term goals of the community walking groups, and it was to be able to get people and pets to engage in physical activity, to disseminate the One Health educational messages, involve the community in the One Health initiative, increase neighborhood interaction, and reduce obesity both in people and in their pets. The next steps at our activities are going to be addressing the concerns of the community using community assessment results and evidence-based strategies, the ongoing One Health message development by the coalition, the walking toolkit development using a pre-existing model of this Parks After Dark intervention, and again piloting to make sure that we are considering the barriers and the facilitators to walking that have been voiced by the community. In conclusion, the 2020 Healthy Pets, Healthy Family Initiative exemplifies the importance of a multidisciplinary approach and with partners for obesity prevention. The PDSA Plan, Do, Study, Act model is an effective tool to develop One Health interventions. Existing data are essential for targeted public health interventions at the local level. And identifying barriers as well as facilitators or motivators for people walking in their neighborhoods ensures an ecological approach for reducing obesity in both pets and people. One Health strategies may be leveraged to reduce then obesity in people and their pets. Thank you very much.
We have time for some questions for Dr. Kim Farley.
Yes, sir.
Dave Kendis from American Association of Public Health Physicians at AAPHPS opposes old idealists because we believe in and endorse One Health.
Great.
All dogs are not created equal in their exercise potential. My 60-pound golden retriever protects me in the neighborhood and gives me plenty of exercise.
Yes.
Even she's 15 and a half, and she can outrun me for the first quarter mile.
Yes.
The 10-pound dog has a whole lot less environmental impact. But a 10-pound dog, I would have to protect it. It wouldn't get me nearly as much exercise. So perhaps a little sophistication about the size of the dog and the exercise potential of the dog, and taking that into account when selecting the dog, might be kind of useful, and maybe something that kind of helps an educator. Thank you very much.
That's an excellent suggestion, and I'll make sure I take these feedbacks that you're giving me or questions to Dr. Ennert when I return. But I think that would be very nice to be, because I know that they have the dog species at least in this, and to be able to tease out this issue of exercise and, you know, obesity by that, again, a breakdown by weight would be very, I think, helpful. Yes, sir.
Just a comment. I have a 3-pound Maltese and a 3-legged terrier and an old Jack Russell, and I walk them up to an hour a day. And so they're amazing. They keep me in pretty good shape. So
yeah.
I do have to protect them sometimes.
Yeah.
All 3 at the same time.
Well, one of the things I mentioned briefly, too, was this fact that this initiative developed a very strong partnership between the Communicable Disease Control and Prevention Division and the Chronic Disease and Injury Prevention Division of our department. And I think that what they've been able to use is some of the community transformation grant funds that they had received also to help support veterinary public health, which basically has not been able to have many grants. That's one of the big problems I think we all face in the veterinary public health arena, is that there's not many big funders out there for this. And so I think that's an important thing. We're working a lot with them on now on bite prevention, for example, too. Yes, sir.
So it's definitely a very useful program, because this is nothing else. You will organize this in the community that they will start with. I mean, that's a lot of things you can also include in the exercise and the productivity and other one. My question is, when you were presenting the data, you said you presented two sets of tables and you said controlling for the owner. Now, is that controlling for the ownership just descriptively, or did you actually use some type of multivariate modeling method to control for the owner?
It was just done on a simple table with just did you have a dog or not.
All right.
But there may be opportunities, like the other gentleman mentioning, for more sophisticated analysis in the future as we get more numbers behind it as well. Yes, please. I think after you'd walked your borrowed dog for a while, you might get a good close bond to that. Huh? That's a very excellent suggestion. And on the issue of the safety, again, the parks after dark, yes, they had a safety component. There were additional police officers around. But, you know, it's a feature that we need to be continuing to work in terms of trying to make our cities safe, and for anyone walking with it or without a dog, for that matter. Yes, please. They didn't really get into other than those particular items that they could choose from, and then we had an other which was open-ended, but there were small numbers that were from that. So, you know, don't have that granularity at this stage. Yeah.
I'm sorry, just an additional comment. When mentioning the park, I know that, for example, I live in Phoenix, and that was playground after hours and
That's a very good suggestion, and also we're doing some of that in LA with our PLACE program that the chronic disease is working with, and some of those ideas of dual-use playgrounds for school and after-school hours is one of those. So, and the idea of also trying to, you know, have healthy streets, which includes the idea with working with regional planning groups to be able to make sure that there are parks actually being planned and put in, or to recover back from small areas that are abandoned. You could go ahead and make it to a park.
Okay.
Thank you very much.